Listen to Dungeons with Dudes. A podcast with dudes. Dungeons. Dragons. And flagons. Every other Sunday on the Journey into Comics Network.
The following
Journey into Comics.
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 Network.
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 Production.
Production.
There was an idea
to bring together a group of remarkable people
to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
The Journey into Comics Network proudly presents to you our loyal patrons, The Road to Infinity War, a podcast event unlike any other. 18 MCU movies, 18 weeks until the Infinity War. Each week, a review from one of our 9 network shows. This week's review of Captain America, The Winter Soldier by Bruce with Dudes.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Brews with Dudes. I'm your host, Nick Maxson, joined once again by Zach Davidson. How are you doing, Zach?
I am fantastic. Thanks for asking. Great to be here, as always.
Good. David Linder, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
Anytime. All the time. You're always welcome.
Oh, shucks.
Brett Maxwell.
Hello, hello again.
Here again.
Always.
All right. It's a pretty core group we got here. David's been on a couple times. Zach's on all the time.
Start making him a seasoned veteran.
Yeah. We have to start getting name badges or something.
I'm here when I can.
All right, this is a super special episode. We got two cool things going on. First of all, this is the Journey into Comics Road to Infinity War special.
Superhero landing.
My love.
All right. We have been tasked with reviewing Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Dun, 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 dun.
I have not actually seen this movie until recently, we'll delve into that after a minute. We're going to start getting on these bruises, though, and that's the second special thing about tonight. So what we did is we got a new Belgium
blend pack.
So they gave us, I think, 6 different beers, and they wanted us to combine some of them, and they gave us a nice little guide for how to blend these different beers together. So they had a couple different fun recipes.
These are from brewers from New Belgium that have created these, who drink these and have said this is a good blend. So
the first one we're trying is from brewer Mark Sampson. He calls this Tripadelic. So what it is the New Belgium's Citradelic, the Tangerine IPA, and it's mixed with their Belgian style ale, the Triple. It's 1/4 of the Triple, 3/4 of the Citradelic. What does he have to say about it? He said, "It's been my go-to shift beer after working overnights. Triple is one of my favorite beers that we make, and it's sometimes nice to lighten it up with a bit of citrus." So we're going to jump right into this before we jump into the Winter Soldier. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Too loud. Jumping. Cheers.
Not bad at all.
Wow.
Not bad.
See, I've had the Citradelic by itself before, and sometimes it's a little too citrusy for me. That's just very underlying notes of the citrus.
It takes it down a notch. It takes the citrus down a notch, but the IPA actually makes the Triple not bite as hard.
Yeah, that's true. Now, see, I haven't actually tried the Triple by itself, and I know I'll state we do have a little bit left in each bottle. That way we can sample each beer by itself compared to the actual mixes.
Oh, I've had the Triple by itself and the Citradelic by itself, and I definitely agree. The Triple definitely tones down the Citradelic a little bit less bite. The Triple, I feel like, has more body and more of a malty
definitely
taste.
Definitely maltier.
So
I think
it brings
both
that out.
I think they both bring each other down, which makes it a better beer overall.
Yeah, because I don't think I would, tasting that triple by itself, I don't think I would drink it by itself.
But I think that,
Bravo.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Gives it a very solid taste.
Man, the first blend was a good blend.
Definitely.
So, so I will say, Nick, today was the first day that I've seen Winter Soldier.
And I saw it last night.
Yep. I saw
it in the theater, so...
And you haven't seen it since?
Yeah, I've not seen it since, so I might be a little out of the loop here, but...
All right.
I'll do my best.
And then, Zach, you've seen it before. You saw it with Brett today and myself last night.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times.
So you're pretty versed on it by now.
Mm-hmm.
Quick disclaimer. Upon review, I don't think I've seen the first Captain America. I know the gist of it. But I did see Civil War. So I saw Civil War first. So I've seen the third one, and now I've seen the second one. Maybe I'll see the first one eventually.
Star Wars and going backwards.
I guess.
I mean, it would connect a lot of dots because, you know, I've seen all of them, so it's easy to see all the dots connect and all the plot lines lay out like it should, like it was in the comics. So mm-hmm. I was able to follow it pretty easily.
Not a lot of people liked the first one. I loved it.
I thought they were all pretty decent.
Yeah.
I will say I'm not the biggest Marvel fan. I don't know a lot about Marvel per se, but I have seen the first Captain America. I've seen the first Thor, the second Thor, maybe a couple of the earlier ones. But then I just kind of lost track and didn't follow it as hard anymore. And so I'd seen the first Captain America when it came out, and watching this one was very guessable. In my opinion, I was able to
predictable. Would
predictable.
You say
predictable? Yeah, I was able to kind of decipher what was actually going on pretty early in the movie.
So you haven't seen?
I haven't seen Civil War.
You haven't seen Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Maybe once, but
because this is before. This is all before Age of Ultron.
This is setting the tone for Avengers 2: Age of Ultron.
Right. But yeah, I don't know. It wasn't a bad movie. If I were to give it a rating, I would say it's a 6 out of 10. Theatrically, it's really fun to watch.
Brett, you were jumping ahead. You were jumping. So we just started.
Okay.
We just started. Let's discuss.
Pump the brakes a bit.
I'm hitting them.
Just started.
I'm going to sip this beer and stop talking.
All right, good. So I guess what I was getting at by explaining my position, and I think everyone else did a good job too, is that this is going to be a varied review. We're going to be reviewing it from the standpoint of it being just its own movie. We're going to be reviewing it from the standpoint of it being Captain America movies. And then we can also look at it as part of the overall Marvel Cinematic Universe. So bear with us. We're going to have some fun with it. I guess we're sipping a little bit on this, aren't we?
Speed it up a bit.
I liked it. I liked it.
I also enjoyed it, especially with the, again, in the comics, Bucky is important, and I like how they throw him back.
He was pretty ruthless.
Dude, yeah.
He was a scary dude.
Bucky is the Winter Soldier, especially as an audience, before you realize it was Bucky. I mean, if you haven't seen the comics, you don't realize that the Winter Soldier is Bucky.
That is something that I liked about it. Like, some people said, like, if you know the comics, you immediately know who this guy is.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I caught on pretty quick. Like, I guessed it pretty quick. It resembled the old character from the original movie.
But I've not seen that either. But
okay, that's true.
But not being knowledgeable of the cartoons, and also not seeing the first one. The
comics.
I thought it did a good job of it being like, I guess they do allude different times to Bucky. And yes, if you've seen the first one, then I can understand where you might be able to go. I bet that's who that is. But I think that standalone, I think that they were subtle enough with their hints.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
I thought that
yes,
did a good
I can
good
see
job.
Where, because Zach told me that in the first one, like, they definitely talk about Bucky, and they definitely make a point when Captain America is at the Smithsonian, and they've got the Captain America, and they've got the whole display just for Bucky. It's like, y'all keep bringing that Bucky guy up.
Yeah.
Wonder if he's that masked badass. Fucking ruthless. And
turns out, he's just this Russian brainwashed badass with a metal arm that can just say fuck off to Captain America's shield.
Of course, Captain America's fighting Nazis.
Of course.
Well, duh.
Hey, they're commies. Everyone loves this guy's a commie. He's the
one, the one time America was loved when we were killing Nazis. Then we just blew it from there. I blame the baby boomers. Sorry to all of our baby boomer listeners.
All three of them.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys got any other notes you wanted to drop real quick?
So I'll say being a first time watcher today, while like the first couple of minutes they're raiding the first ship, right? He jumps into the water, he starts murking all these guys, and all of a sudden enter Billy Badass that is actually holding his own against Captain America, and you know, of course the connotation is this is the Winter Soldier, this is the main bad guy, he's, you know, a super soldier just like
In the very beginning. They weren't insinuating that.
Huh?
They weren't insinuating that the pirate was a super soldier.
He was able to punch Captain America back flat on his ass.
You know, if you ask me that, all that is really is because that was George St. Pierre and he was a UFC fighter.
They don't need some UFC guy to come in. His cameo is not that important.
It was just for show.
I'm saying that's what I'm saying.
I forget which villain he's supposed to be.
From an outside perspective,
some insignificant villain. He was a pirate.
From an outside perspective, not knowing anything about what was going to happen with this movie, my initial reaction was this guy's been juiced with the super serum. And he's got some of this power.
Because he's totally holding his own against
this guy who just
beat up every single person on the ship.
The connotation was that, oh, maybe this is the Winter Soldier. Maybe this is the main badass guy that we're supposed to worry about. But I instantly could realize, like, my point I was trying to get at was Captain America was just easily taunted into the superhero trap of, come on, man, I thought you were more than just a shield. And he puts the shield back and rips off the mask. He's like, all right, let's fucking do this, like, getting cocky about it. That's a hero's downfall, in my opinion.
Part of it is that Captain America kind of holds back in fights. Because he's not trying to kill people. He's not that guy. He's like the white knight of the Marvel universe. Yeah.
But getting punched by a dude and flying back a couple feet, that seems pretty tough to me. So that made me think, okay, more than a couple people have been introduced to this super serum, and there's more than one of these guys that could potentially be the same power as Captain America out there. We don't know how many there are.
Did they introduce in the first one anybody that had powers similar to Captain America's, or is he the only super soldier?
There was the team, wasn't there?
Comics there was other stuff, but I don't know if they did anything in
Red
I don't
Skull
recall.
was also part of the
jacked up on something or another.
Because if I remember right, they kind of got the serum from
the Nazis.
I believe so. I could be completely wrong.
I don't 100% recall the first movie, but I mean that sounds about right.
I've drank since then.
Yes,
I've drank today since then.
Me too.
I'm drinking now still since then.
And then.
It was still a good movie, and I will give the world my most honest opinion. I'm not the biggest Marvel fan, so I came into this, you know, trying to be as open-minded as possible, and I feel like I was, and I still think it's a good, solid movie. I just think it's got its weaknesses in my point, too.
So. Of course. Well, we've got a couple fun things that we want to make sure that we address, so we're going to... we're going to bring up the Stan Lee appearance. Boom, 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 boom. Stan Lee. So this time,
Stan the fucking man, Lee.
So they decide the troop decides Captain America and is it Steve Wilson? Steve Wilson. That's hilarious.
Steve Rogers.
There we go. Okay, so he's I'm talking about his partner, the guy with the wings.
Oh, that's Falcon. Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't recall. He's the Falcon.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
I don't remember them ever calling him the Falcon, not even one time.
I'll send an email.
The only reference to Falcon was the name of the project for the suit.
But they never explicitly said that was his name.
I think Black Widow referred to him as like a code name. It was like Falcon. Like, all right, Falcon.
Okay. So no one knows for sure. Anyway.
I'm getting an email right now from the tech department. they're not giving me much information.
God bless the tech department. Okay, so anyway.
Sam Wilson.
I knew it was Wilson. Okay, close. So anyway, I just had to read a little deeper. They decide, he's like, we're going to go fucking do this. And he's like, well, I'm fucking coming with you. He's like, can I just wear my blue jeans? He's like, no, you got to have a uniform. So then they break into the Smithsonian. They go to the Captain America part.
The exhibit,
and
yeah.
They steal some of the clothes. And then the janitor... Stanley shows up. What does he say?
He says, oh man, I am so fired.
Right.
And that's, I love you, Stanley.
That's about it. But and then it pans to the missing uniform with the fake shield sitting in front of the crotch of the mannequin
yeah.
that is supposed to be Captain America.
Oh, Stanley, you messed up again.
He did. He's not watching.
Poor guy. Too busy observing.
Sad Stanley can't even protect a uniform in the middle of the night. How did they sneak in? Snicky.
Sad. It's sad.
I think we're ready for the next blend.
I think we are. I will go grab that for us.
So yeah, that was the Stanley performance. What do you guys know about him being Stanley being in his movies as he's supposed to be some kind of like all powerful observer from
Zach
the god from the heavens? I don't know.
Yeah,
there's been a big conspiracy about him being
ever since I found out the whole I guess conspiracy, whatever you want to call it, behind
it's just
Stanley's
a theory.
Cameo. He's like supposed to be this race of, I don't know, inner celestial beings called the observers, who just kind of observe everything that's going on in the universe, but they don't necessarily do anything. That's one theory.
Clearly.
That I have heard. Whether or not that's what they're going for, I don't know. I'm not Stan Lee. But it would appear that, you know, based off of all these different cameos, that it's not that far off of an idea.
It's true.
Interesting. It'd be cool. It wouldn't surprise me.
Or it's
all
just random and pretty funny. I think all of his cameos all around are pretty funny each time.
I mean,
yeah. You have to have him in there. He's like
he's the
father of Marvel.
Has he been in all of them?
I believe so. He's
Spider-Man. Interesting.
Yeah, he's in the Spider-Mans.
The Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans?
Yep. Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Huh. He's in that Hulk with not the real shitty Hulk.
The Ed Norton
not
one?
The Ed Norton one, not the Eric Bono.
Not
one.
That one, not yeah.
The first.
I don't think
yeah,
he's
the
in
first
that
one.
The one with the fucking rabid poodles. God, that movie's awful.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of missed the mark a couple times.
Yeah. They didn't even get the same board.
Some of them are pretty awful. I guess they were good at the time considering, but then you think about it, it's like, ugh, could have done way better. Like, okay, my first complaint about the first Hulk, he's like 30 fucking feet tall, but I'm not even going to get into it because we're not talking about that.
We're just talking.
We're just chatting about.
Ooh.
Just chatting with some dudes.
And some brews.
So are we allowed to go into films later in the series then? Are we allowed to mention things that happen later on? Or are we trying to just stick to the timeline?
Yeah, we should probably stick as close to the movie that we got as possible. But before we jump into the next part, Brett, would you like to give us the rundown on the next one that we're about to try?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this one. Once I saw this one, it looked pretty sweet. So this is the L'Argento. It is a 1554 black lager, 2/3 part of that, and then 1/3 part of a cellar blender, which is a limited release sour ale.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, so we've
so
got
it's
a
sour with a
mix
what?
With the dark.
Oh, wow.
This is what the brewer, Eric Salazar, has to say about it. He says, my blend is a composition with sour beer and a malty 1554. I enjoy playing the sweetness of the malt profile off the sharp acids of the sour. And this guy's been, it says down here in his little profile, he's been with New Belgium for over 22 years, and 20 of which have been directly involved with the wood-aged sour beer program.
Wow.
So this guy knows his
shit.
So
he knows the sours.
Yeah.
Well, appear.
Without further ado, let's dive on into this one.
Cheers, boys.
Oh my sweet Jesus, that's not that bad at all.
Wow.
I was super skeptical
like
about
that.
This one.
See, I was not.
That's pretty good.
I was
good.
Excited about this one, and I was...
Me too.
Was right.
See, dark with a sour, when I heard that, I became instantly skeptical. Mm. But that changed my opinion for sure.
My first experience with blending beer was a pumpkin ale mixed with a sour.
Oh, wow.
And it was like some form of Halloween candy that was just magnificent. And I don't like pumpkin beer at all. And I've just recently found sours that I liked, but we recorded an episode, Illinois Part 2, where we had a sour. It was just a regular sour, and it was not good. So, I mean, I've still got the connotations about sour that I don't like, but this blend is really good.
Can you pass me the sour by itself?
Yeah.
Let me try to get
I was about to get one, too.
A sour ale. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good sour. Limited release.
I like the black lager by itself, too.
This beer is pretty fucking tasty. This mixture you got going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Damn. These dudes know their brews.
I could almost, like, see mixed that almost 50-50.
You see what I did there?
That was good. Always said it.
Oh.
Mm-mm-mm. So what else do we need to chat about? Time. Oh, let's get into the credit scenes. There were, if I'm not mistaken, there were two credit scenes in Captain America Winter Soldier. I don't remember which one is first. We're not gonna say which one is first. We'll start with the Hydra base, where it shows that they're not defeated. They're still fully operational.
Cut one head off to appear.
They've got some secret fucking looking weapon.
They're fucking mean.
Like this
mean
looking. This is like.
Do you recognize that stuff at all?
Like I said, I'm not.
Have you seen the first Avengers?
Maybe once. I don't watch very much Marvel.
Okay.
So I probably have, but I don't recall.
Okay.
I've been drunk since then.
Yeah. That's fair.
And that's when they introduced those
the mutant
twins.
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, I know the girl is Scarlet Witch. I believe the other one, I believe his name is Quicksilver.
Quicksilver, yeah.
They look pretty intimidating.
They're pretty strong.
Was that the first mention and or showing of them?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
And they get a bigger appearance in Civil War, right?
No, Age of Ultron.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. It is Age of Ultron.
They're also in Civil War. Well,
Scarlet Witch is in Age of Ultron. Or Age of Ultron, and then she's also in Civil War.
I see.
Quicksilver does not make it past.
Well,
Hydra will fail.
Spoiler.
We know this.
One day,
right?
Eventually. But apparently the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's never going to end.
Well, I mean, as the guy said, Hydra, S.H.I.E.L.D., those are just names. It mm-hmm. doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't fucking matter.
There's already speculation what's going to happen after the Infinity Wars.
There's so much speculation because there's so much story left.
Yeah, there's so much stuff.
Disney can literally do whatever the hell they want.
Exactly. So we could speculate till our faces were blue.
Yeah.
We don't know. We just don't know. It's okay.
I know what I'd like them to do.
So then we've got anyone else have any other observations about the scene with the Hydra headquarters? Zach, you were trying to get Brett in a gotcha moment with bringing up
staff,
the weapons being in
the Avengers.
Yeah, that's the thing Loki was using, right?
Yes, it was. If I'm not mistaken. I say that because I'm not perfect with all my recollection of this, but I believe that was the staff that Loki used in the first Avengers.
The Tesseract.
Yes, it's powered by the Tesseract, which is one of the Infinity Stones.
Yes, because there are...
See that, I don't
five.
Know.
Five, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they introduced the Tesseract
I'm not going to spoil any
previews. The first Avengers, right?
No, I don't think we have to worry about spoilers. We just don't want to get too caught up.
For this Infinity War, I mean, we see Thanos with his glove on. And we see what he obtains.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's going to kick some ass,
If he's only got two and his race is to five, man, there's a lot of shit that could happen.
Yes. Well, there also is two films for the Infinity Wars. It's part one and part two.
Bum, bum, bum,
so,
bum,
fairness,
bum.
A lot can happen over the two films.
How many movies do we have so far that have been released?
Oh, goodness.
Wow. You might want to send 20? An email to the tech.
Not quite 20. It's 3 Captain Americas, 3 Iron Mans, 3 Thors, 2 Avengers, 2 Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man.
Hulk.
They have not made a Hulk movie.
Yes, they did.
They've made a couple.
That is part of the part of this.
Yeah, because then he gets pulled into the Avengers.
One of them was in Phase 1, I thought. No, I don't think.
I don't think so. Did you look it up? Did you find it? I'm at 14 right now.
No, I sent the email. I'm gonna
Doctor Strange also in.
So 15.
Doctor Strange. One. Black Panther's gonna be released soon.
Black Panther's coming
I bet you the other people on the network are listening to this going, you fucking idiots!
I thought you were supposed to be nerds!
Fuck!
Nerd rage!
Hope he's raging!
Damn it. Alright. Yeah, we might be missing one or two, but... So we got to 15.
The email's coming through right now. So... read down because they like to fill me in with a bunch of bullshit. There's 17 films total.
We were close. What did we miss?
I'm looking for the list. There's Phase 1 is Iron Man, Hulk. So the Incredible Hulk is part of it.
I guess I thought that was in there. Yep. I wasn't sure, though.
That one was released in 2008, so that one was pretty early in the series. Mm-hmm. So Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor... Captain America, the first Avenger, and then it's Marvel's The Avengers, and then on to Phase 2.
It should be Iron Man 3.
Yeah, well,
Winter Soldier.
They're terrible about compiling their emails. So Phase 2, you have Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, Captain America, Winter Soldier, which we're covering, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man.
We got that one.
Yep.
What did we miss?
Phase 3.
What did we miss? Civil War,
Doctor Strange, Guardians 2, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
And the new Thor, Ragnarok.
I heard that was pretty good, too.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, Ragnarok is supposed to be really good.
It was really good.
I want to see it.
A lot more humor than I expected for a Thor movie.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm excited for that new fucking Black Panther movie. I saw the full trailer today. It was dope.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty good, too. I liked him in Civil War.
Yes, correct.
I liked him in that.
That was where they first introduced Black Panther. Yeah.
It's pretty neat. We about ready for the next blend, you guys think?
I'm ready.
Yeah,
just about there.
This one was fantastic.
Yes.
These are both winners so far. I would say so. I did not catch the concept when I bought it. So I just kind of saw that it was New Belgium, and I saw the Citradelic, and I'm like, cool, I'll try a bunch of new beers. And then I was like, oh, because I'm not a huge Black Lager fan. I'm not a fan of Fat Tire. So I was like, did I get just a bunch of shit I know I'm not gonna like? And then we figured out that you're supposed to mix them together, and so far I'm blown away by how good these are.
Yeah,
so
I'm glad I saw that. We actually aren't doing any of the blends with Fat Tire, though.
Yeah, we avoided it because we fucking hate
no
Fat
one
Tire.
Likes it. We all voted like down
it. And it's not even regular Fat Tire, it's like the worst version of Fat Tire.
Yeah.
Belgium white.
Yep. Screw it.
Bollocks.
It's all right. We're going to make it through.
It's making my tummy happy, though, right now. Mm-hmm. It's very happy.
Yes. One happy belly.
One belly boy.
Happy belly boy.
Oh, boy.
We still need to tally up our how many boys that we created in the past couple episodes.
There's a bunch. There's a bunch of boys.
All of the boys. Boozy boys and shouty boys and
swingy boys.
I guess you might say that swingy boy is number one.
He was the original. He's the original boy.
Swingy boy was number one.
In our boy universe.
Boyverse.
Boyverse.
Oy.
That's not good enough. We'll come up with something better. Damn
our boydom.
Yeah,
damn. Cut that one out. And
damn us for saying something that stupid. I've got some good brew news. I got a job today at one of the new breweries opening up in Lafayette.
Really? I did not know that. Awesome.
It's called Taos River Brewery and Public House. It's going to be over right off of Twickenham on, I believe, 9th Street.
Nice. I didn't know they were opening a new brewery there.
Yeah. They're going to open hopefully by the end of the month, and I'm going to be the bartender server in their tap room. It's going to be a big, big space. Like, right when you walk in, they'll have a bar area for cocktails and whatnot, and then they'll have, like, family seating. And then you'll walk down the hallway, and there'll be the tap room. And in the tap room, you can actually see all the kettles and everything they use to brew.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're going to have a patio. It's going to be pretty sweet.
I'm going to definitely have to check that out, obviously.
Oh, I'm going to...
pretty sweet.
I'm going to be that asshole on your friends list that's always like, I'm bartending tonight.
Come out and see me.
Because I'm making $2.13 an hour, and I need you to make sure I make more than that.
Buy some drinks and tip me.
Yeah. Come drink 10 beers and tip me just a little bit. Just a little bit. A lot of my friends aren't even going to care that I'm exploiting them because it's going to be really good beer.
Hey, if it's good beer, I'm in.
I'm excited. Apparently, they've already got some of their beers on tap in Monticello. At Copacetic.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And the name Taos River, which is Taos River, that their namesake, there is an underground river that goes through Lafayette.
What?
Like, deep underground.
I knew that.
It's called the Taos River.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Damn. Interesting.
So, it looks like we're on the last one here. This is from brewer Jeff Wenzel. We've got the Abbey Belgian Style Double. This is a half and half mixture. It is with the 1554 Black Lager as well. He says, a perfect blend of roastiness, malt sweetness, and Belgian-esque fruity esters. God damn, that sounds good. He didn't say that, I did. This beer is a rare treat for me, almost as rare as seeing a monk in pajamas. I think that was attempted a joke. Let's see. Jeff Wetzel began his career in brewing back in 2003 at a small brewery in New York's Hudson Valley. Since then, he's worked every job in brewing, from stocking grain to running bottling lines. He's been at New Belgium since 2014. Cool.
And I see they're calling it Monk's Pajamas.
This is called Monk's Pajamas. Ah, so there we go.
This is two darks mixed together.
So this is going to be a darky boy.
It is.
It's actually not terribly, terribly dark.
Not really.
No, it's very dark.
It's very dark.
There's a little bit of light going through.
But yeah, you can see a little bit of light
very
going
dark
through.
Dark shade of amber.
It's not the blackest of black.
Let's enjoy this, boys.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Ooh, that's smooth.
Ooh.
It's very smooth for being two dark beers.
Ooh.
Roastiness, malt, sweetness.
It's definitely sweet.
Fruity esters. I might have to try a little harder with my next sip to get the fruity esters. I definitely got the roastiness, which is great. I really like it.
It's definitely roasty.
It's a roasty boy.
It's a roasty boy.
It's more like it's more subtle aftertones for as far as the fruitiness goes, if you ask me. Like, if you really chew it a little bit, you can taste it a little at the end when it's starting to go down your throat, a little bit of the fruity notes.
I can't seem to get any.
Can't quite place what fruits.
Try to smell it.
I have.
Did you get any fruit?
Took a couple big whiffs.
I'm not really getting really fruit.
So I'm not sure. This is something we've never really touched on a Brews with Dudes. Is some of our listeners may not know about the aromas with beer.
Yeah, we try to bring it up. And I think I even joked in for a couple episodes about how they say you're supposed to take a quick sniff, mm-hmm. and then give yourself a second, and then do two quick sniffs, and then get a long one. You know, there's a big, big, long process. I think I joked about it for a good 10 minutes.
I might not have been near that episode.
It was definitely a thing.
I'm sure it was a fantastic joke.
So me being a bartender... and you now going to be a bartender. P.S. Are they hiring over there still?
I think so.
Cool. I might have to come work with you. I have had people come in and ask me about beer, or they'll order a style of beer, and I'm like, well, would you like to try something different that's kind of in your alley? And they're like, well, what do you mean? and I'll point something out to them, and I'll bring them a glass with it, because after, if they decide to go with, I'll bring them a glass with it, and I don't need that. I'm like, trust me, dude.
Just drink it.
When you go to take a drink, just breathe in through your nose a little bit and just get some of the aroma. And by the time I visit the table again, they're like, wow, dude, I will never drink a beer out of the bottle again. Like, I will be drinking it out of a glass. It
makes a big difference.
I'm starting to realize that as well. I've always been a bottle guy. No, I've caught myself pouring more glasses.
I never understood
that. I always prefer to drink it out of a glass if I can.
Yeah.
Well, I prefer mine on draft, so...
Well, yeah, sure.
You can't really... I'm not going to have them pour a draft in a bottle.
You can't get the aroma with a bottle. Like, you can smell it, but part of it is smelling it while you drink it. That's another aspect of it. You can't do that with a bottle, so... Yeah, that's a huge part of it. There's a couple of beers, like... I feel like I know. If you smell a beer, like, you're like... Oh, I'm about to love the shit out of this. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh,
like, yeah. Sometimes it can be deceiving, but if it smells real hoppy, man, I know I'm going to love it. If it smells chocolatey, I know I'm going to love it. I love it when it smells like a cold brew coffee.
Or a motherfucking milkshake.
God damn. That Brewlink Dreamsicle fucking, oh my God.
Oh, it's so good.
I want to visit there.
So
they're only an hour away.
It's not bad at all.
To go.
That's where the Nutter Cup is.
We going to 450 North tomorrow? Isn't that their release?
It's next week.
Next Friday.
Next Friday. Cool. Yeah. Apparently our favorite fucking
brewery.
We've
been hooked.
Yeah.
We've definitely been hooked on 450 North. Recently was the Powdered Nugs, Gold Nugs, and the Super Nugget Brothers.
Yeah.
And they were all really good. But yeah, I definitely want to go down for this new one. They haven't even said what it's going to be.
They'll probably announce it this weekend. So, I'm probably going to have to whip out an extra special beer for us to get down on to finish, but let's try to round out this Captain America conversation that we've been having. Does anybody want to... Let's just do a quick broad summary of what you thought of the movie, how you thought it does in comparison to the other Captain America movies, and how you think it fits into the full picture. And then the rating.
Spoilers.
1 through 10. 1 through 10. Decide. I don't have a machine. I gotta just...
You're doing great.
You're probably just going to say 6.
It might jump up or down. You never know.
You do not know.
After discussing it for a little bit, it might change.
Does anybody want to go first? Zach, you seem to be the most versed in it since you've watched it multiple times in the past couple of days.
Yeah, sure. I'll go for it. So I guess the Winter Soldier, you know, as a summary, I guess, how would I start this?
Just, do you like it?
I liked it.
How did you like it as a movie?
I enjoyed it as a movie. Explained a lot of Captain America's story. Explained a little bit of how Hydra's not quite gone. How it kind of infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. and without anybody knowing. And so that obviously shown the corruption for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Do you think in the way that Hydra infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. that the Nazis infiltrated the United States and the Nazis are the one causing all this trouble? Do you think?
If you want to look at it like that, I think it's just goes a question. A little bit beyond Nazis.
I'm just asking the question because they said that S.H.I.E.L.D. went and got Nazi scientists and brought them on board. And America did do that. America did go get Nazi scientists and bring them over to work with us.
Yeah, that's a real thing. That's a fair point.
Is there a real Hydra? Anybody?
Dum, dum, dum.
Comment. Share with your friends. Let's discuss this. Anyways, that continue your synopsis.
So then it shows that S.H.I.E.L.D. is not perfect. There's been compromise. Director Fury has to go into hiding. Makes it seem like he's dead because he doesn't think he can trust anybody.
Trust no one.
And then it turns out, you know, Steve Rogers is still Steve Rogers. He's the captain. He's, you know, the White Knight. I'll say it again.
Captain's orders.
So then Captain kind of comes back and just saves the day. You know, at the same time, fighting this fucking ghost that they call the Winter Soldier, which turns out to be Bucky, of course. So that kind of pulls on his heartstrings, you know, shows a little bit more of the compassionate side of Captain America.
they've just done such a good job of Captain America being pure. Like, pure to a fault.
Totally.
Like, he's going to do the honorable thing every single time.
Down to the final fight, the final boss fight, if you will, with him and Bucky, the showdown on the airship. He's just like, I'm not going to fight you, man.
I was not remotely surprised. Like, yep, oh, nope. you're not going to beat up your friend. You're going to let him fucking kill you? Okay, Cap. What the fuck ever, dude.
Typical Steve Rogers.
Typical fucking Captain America. So what do you think? 1 out of 10?
I would give it a 7 out of 10. Not a perfect rating. I enjoyed it, as I enjoy a lot of the Captain America's movies. I like Chris Evans as an actor.
Is that a 1 out of 10 in terms of movies in general, or a 1 out of 10 in terms of Marvel movies?
I'd say a 1 out of 10 as far as Marvel movies goes. Not in movies overall. If I had to say it in movies in general, it'd be a lower rating.
Yeah.
It was a good movie. Like a 5 or a 4 out of 10.
It did a good job, but not enough to be like a. That's not going to go in the Criterion collection as a significant piece of American culture.
No, Citizen Kane. Not at all. I really liked how it's Paul all Bart. Tying together. All the movies are culminating to, you know, they're tying in with one another. A good example outside of Avengers was Civil War, which I loved how Disney/Marvel decided to do that. That was a great movie idea.
I am the biggest fan in the world of collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I may not... I do like Marvel movies. I'm not a fan. I don't think I've seen a single one in theaters. None of them in theaters.
I've seen most of them.
And I've missed half of them. But I do like them when I watch them. Because the fact that if you... Especially Phase 2, Phase 3... There's so many different things that are coming together, you know, that I love that shit. I love stuff like that, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's a weird situation, but I watched Civil War first, and then I went back and watched this one, and you start to see, like, oh, I see where, you know, where all these things started to work together. And I've seen Age of Ultron, and what else was around that time? Iron Man 2, So yeah, I love that aspect of it. That's one of my favorite parts. That's why I'm excited about all the Star Wars stuff to come. You know, not only are they doing more trilogies, but they're doing the stuff in between, and they're trying to fill in gaps. And I love the filling in of gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And bravo to Marvel. And I'm glad they did it, because it opened the door. If Marvel hadn't worked, then Star Wars would have never happened.
Oh yeah,
they never would.
That's true. They wouldn't have had the money.
They wouldn't have had the money, and they wouldn't have known that people are going to buy into something like that. And with Marvel, they know. Like,
oh yeah,
you can put out 2 Marvel movies a year, and they're going to go. We should have looked it up, but I bet you if we looked at a list of top selling movies, I bet you that top 10, top 20 list is littered with Marvel movies. Because Avengers did ridiculous at the box office.
Very good in the theaters.
I don't even remember ever reading anything about any of them doing bad in theaters. Like, definitely people were saying this one wasn't as good as this one, but every single one kills it at the box office.
You know, I think
people hated Force Awakens. People hated Last Jedi. Guess what? Still did.
It doesn't fucking matter.
It did great at the box office. And
fans are still going to go see it.
As far as Marvel movies that some people didn't seem to like, a lot of people didn't seem to like Iron Man 3, which I agree with.
Yes.
Iron Man 3 wasn't that good, and it didn't get that good of reviews while it was in theaters.
Oh, of course it didn't. So, but people still went and saw it.
Oh, of course. Because it's fucking Iron Man.
You got a big name Iron Man Marvel.
Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. Ugh. He's a perfect Tony Stark.
I guess that's another credit that I'll give to Marvel. I'm down with everyone that they've picked. Like, Chris Evans, perfect Captain America. Robert Downey Jr., perfect Iron Man.
He's one of the fucking Samuel L. Jacksons.
Samuel L. Jackson is pretty... I didn't see the comics, but I love Nick Fury. Like, I think he's, like, that cranky old man that's not going to take shit, and he's a badass. I liked him.
Oh, yeah.
Because in like Ultimate Avengers and whatnot, the character Nick Fury looks just like Sam L.
That's awesome. That's right.
Because
so awesome.
Nick Fury is actually like an older character, and he's just a white guy with an eye patch.
Yeah, really? Yeah, yeah. In the comics, he was a white guy, but he was also the same guy, you know, war veteran, doesn't take shit from anybody, cranky old guy, just kicks ass.
Am I missing anybody? Who else is playing, like, the perfect them? I'm not sold on the Hulk.
No.
I think he does a good job. He does a good job, but
that's not like nobody could ever do the Hulk. Like, I don't get that from him.
Chris Hemsworth is a decent Thor.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have to act that much, I feel like, though.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth is doing a good job with Thor. I like him.
He's doing a good job.
I'm not saying that he's not doing a good performance. I'm just saying there's not a whole lot for him to perform. You know what I mean? Thor's kind of just this... Yeah.
Just look
tough. I love Loki.
Character.
Loki's awesome.
Yeah. And the... I forget the actor's name, but the dude
Tom Hiddleston.
Yes. He's a very good actor.
Yeah. I am a big fan.
Yes.
All right, Dave, we're on you. What's your overall impression of the movie, and how do you rate it out of 10?
Well, it's been a while. Like I said earlier, it's been a while since I've seen it. I'm pretty sure the last time I saw it was in the theater, whenever that was. It is my favorite Captain America in the three Captain America. It is definitely my favorite. Mm-hmm. I love Captain America. I always have him as a kid, because, like, nowadays you have these, like, real deep characters, these, like, you know, deep anti-heroes and stuff like that. And I just love that it's refreshing. He's like a Boy Scout.
He's pure.
He's pure. And I like that, too. Like, you know, I like the anti-heroes and the real deep and characters and real complex. But as far as Cap goes, you know, he's just pure and wholesome.
You know what he's going to do because he's the Cap. He's always going to do the most honorable thing.
Yep.
I don't recall him ever doing anything ridiculously clever. Like,
he's very straightforward.
That's not that guy. He's going to do what is right and what seems right.
He's a go-get-him type of guy.
Yeah. And I love that. Like, same with Superman. People don't like Superman because of that, because he's the Boy Scout.
He's too perfect.
Yeah, and I like that as a character. But I'm also more of a DC guy. I should point that just to the earlier. I am a DC guy more than I'm a Marvel guy. But I do like the Marvel movies.
When it comes to that, it's just preference.
My only problem with Superman is that, as far as I can tell, he can do whatever he wants.
Pretty much.
Like,
he gets recharged from the sun.
He could get squished between two colliding planets and he survives somehow.
He can't even really die.
Take him a little while. He'll come back.
But yeah, it's just like and I've read some ridiculous examples. It's just like, he's done so many crazy things that it's like, is there anything, is there anything that you can't survive? Like, come on, Superman.
He's a little
bit of kryptonite. Apparently he doesn't like kryptonite.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as my rating, as a Marvel movie, I'd probably rate about an 8. 8 out of 10, I'd say. I really enjoyed it. I liked Falcon. I liked the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. being infiltrated, if I remember it right.
It was a little complex.
It was, yeah.
In the middle, it got a little complex. And me not knowing the story, I was like, this is kind
of
cool.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Who done it? Like, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
Because they had that subterfuge where it was like, Nick Fury's the bad guy.
Yeah,
it's like,
the secretary was trying to make it seem
he was not.
Fury
was,
yeah.
So I like that aspect of it.
I did too. So yeah, I'd say 8 out of 10 for the Marvel movies.
Okay.
But I agree with Zach for far as movies go, it's a little lower.
Not groundbreaking as a movie, but a good watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Good watch. All right, Brett.
Fun flick.
A fun flick.
I would have to say that this movie was very predictable for me. Like, I really didn't get a whole lot of confusion of what was going on. Even in the middle, I was like, all right, this guy's the bad guy. As soon as I saw the Winter Soldier, a.k.a. Bucky, on screen, I recognized that it was Bucky, and I was like, okay, well, this guy is obviously him, and you know, here's Steve Rogers. He's going to obviously try to make Bucky remember his past, and he's going to, you know, try and make all that happen, you know, and not be able to fight him, even though he's going to have to face him. It was, like I said, a little predictable. It wasn't bad, and this goes with all of the Marvel movies. The cinematics are fantastic. the actual CGI, the choreographing of the dancing, the fighting is absolutely amazing. I think more than a couple of the actors are a little lackluster. Scarlett Johansson, don't enjoy her as her character.
Oh, she's such a babe, though.
She may be hot, but that doesn't mean she can act. Oh. She may be hot, that doesn't mean she can act. She just seems very bland to be... When I think of this character as a badass Russian assassin, and here she is just bland Scarlett Johansson.
She literally half of her lines are trying to hook Captain America up with someone. After in the middle of the movie, unsuccessfully trying to... make a move herself. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, yeah.
Where she straight up...
The escalator scene where she says, kiss me or whatever, because that was hide. Okay.
No, they're driving away after they're hiding, and she says, like, what are you looking for in a woman? Well, who do you want me to be?
Right.
And he said, friends. And she just kind of laughed it off.
Yeah, no, one scene that stuck out with me with her was the scene where they're in the secretary's office and she has the EMP to de-arm the pin that's on her chest so it doesn't kill her.
Right.
And she shocks herself. And Fury, like, kind of goes to shake her and he's like, come on, get up. And she just, like, blandly opens her eyes and she's like, oh, that does kind of hurt.
That joke just fell flat for you?
Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. So she is one of my least favorite actors within the Marvel Universe when it comes to the Avengers side of it. But overall, out of the Marvelverse, 6 out of 10. Out of movies in general, probably about a 4.5. Maybe 5. Like I said, just because the cinematics are super fun to watch. The fight scenes are super fun to watch.
Oh, that scene in the elevator?
Yeah.
That was a badass.
That was a great scene.
Yeah.
Well, before we start, anybody want to get off? I'm like, ooh, he's about to whoop their fucking asses. Yep. And he beats like fucking 15, 20 dudes.
The elevator was packed. All of them. Yeah. The elevator was packed.
That was a big elevator.
Yeah.
Throws crossbones up into the fucking ceiling and just drops. Yeah. Just
That was an awesome scene.
I think a little bit of the acting is a little lackluster, and that's one of my biggest downfalls with Marvel, is I think a lot of the storyline kind of falls flat with the acting with me. I enjoy the cinematics, I enjoy the fights, the choreographing, everything, but they could have done a little better with the lines in the story.
The choreography could be better on the Avengers movies, because holy shit, if at the beginning of Infinity Wars I have to watch another slow-mo scene of all of them jumping in together, I'm going to lose my fucking mind, because I am so sick of that
shit.
The first time. First Avengers movie when they did it, okay. But you did it at the beginning of the second one, too. Like, please don't do it again.
I bet you a dollar.
It's too cheesy. It's ultimate cheese.
I will say it's almost as cheesy as the Luke and Kylo fight where they pulled the Matrix straight, like, I'm going to bend back and miss your lightsaber. That was cheesy to me in the Star Wars.
That was a little too much.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. The acting falls flat a little bit.
I definitely think that in the prequels, they overdid the lightsaber fights. But they are not finding a balance. I need more than what they're giving me with these new movies.
Yeah.
The best thing involving a lightsaber so far is Rogue One Vader. That is the best. And that's not even him fighting anybody with a lightsaber. That's him just killing a bunch of people with a lightsaber. You know what I mean? So it's oh my God, it's so...
But
that's Star Wars. That's another time.
Now we're on to your opinion, Nick. What do you have for us?
I'm gonna start out by saying what Rotten Tomatoes has to say. The critics give it an 89%. And the audience gives it a 92%.
Wow.
So I bring that up because I had heard from several people that this was the best individual movie. The Avengers are awesome, but then besides the Avengers, Captain America Winter Soldier is the best movie. Like, better than the Iron Man's, better than the a lot of people really, really, really liked Winter Soldier. What joke did I make last night, Zach? I said, I figured there'd be more snow. And I seriously had that misconception. I thought this was going to be Captain America in Russia fighting this. I had a total absolute misconception of this whole thing.
And I guess I liked it. I didn't think of that. I didn't think of that going into it.
Right, and I've had this misconception for years. Like I've been totally.
Good God.
There was no snow. no Russian fighting. There was none of that. So.
Sometime.
I would say, I really liked it. My favorite Marvel movies are the first two Iron Mans. I love the Avengers. The first one. The second one is good, but not as much. Love the first Guardians.
Oh, yeah.
Really liked Civil War. I really liked it. I think it was right up there with what I consider the good Marvel movies. I would probably, in terms of Marvel, give it an 8. I would give it a 7 or 8 out of 10. Because it was just excellent. I think it had good pacing. There's some bad actors. Sometimes it's just like stale, whatever.
You'll have that.
Yeah,
especially with a franchise.
I'm not going to hold that against him too much. I bet you if I watch the first Captain America and then watch this one again, I'd probably like it more because, like I said, I like the interconnectivity of all the different episodes.
Definitely does that.
So, and in terms of movies, I'd give it a 5 or 6. I love movies. I love all movies. And there was nothing glaringly. The one complaint, everyone's going to laugh at this because we're talking about a fucking superhero movie. You know what I'm talking about, Zach.
Yep.
Falcon. Falcon's falling down after Bucky fucks up his wings and he pulls the parachute.
We talked about this.
And he drops for a second or two and then lands and they act like it's okay. I'm like, his fucking knees would have blown out his. And that's the. Right, it's silly. That's the only complaint I have. But my point being is, it flowed well. There was nothing that I was like, that's just too much. Like, when Samuel L. Jackson gets trapped by all those guys on the street, god damn,
I was not expecting that.
That scene was tight.
That was one of the coolest scenes that I've seen in a Marvel movie. That's one of the coolest action sequences I've ever seen. Like,
that was probably my favorite scene.
He's in like the Pope Mobile, you know? Yeah. He's like waiting. He's like, wait until this window is almost broke, and then I'm gonna blow your ass up with a machine gun and an RPG, you fucking assholes. And the whole time, he immediately goes to fly me out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, so your fucking SUV can fly?
I love the first line of that where he's like, you want to see my papers for it? Like, you want to see my registration?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Cops just staring at him.
Is there any system that's not fucked up? The air conditioning is fully operational.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Well, that was good. I do like
thank
the,
you.
The,
that's important.
I do like the semi-witty humor they have.
I don't necessarily... another plot hole, kind of, in my opinion, when Samuel L. Jackson's car was flipped over after Bucky had fucking blown it up with that weird magnetic grenade thing, you know what I mean?
Oh, I brought that up too.
And that phosphorus, whatever, fucking laser kind of thing just cut straight to the ground.
I've got a little taser, and I'm going to cut through some mint.
Where'd the dirt go? That's my joke. Where'd the dirt go? You cut out the car. Where'd the car go? I don't understand. But...
That's movies. That's
okay.
That's movies.
Actually, we're gonna keep talking. We're gonna keep finding glaring potholes. But those are the two. But Wilson not landing the right way, and Samuel L. Jackson lasering away, like hitting the car with that laser so hard that it just vanquishes.
Did Disney plan on owning Star Wars at this time, so that maybe lightsabers are a part of the Marvel universe?
Don't say that. Shut the fuck up.
But lightsabers don't obliterate the things they touch. They just cut them in half.
Yeah.
They don't absolutely destroy what they cut through to the point where it's like non-existent. But they tunneled into the earth and there's no dirt. Okay. We're getting too far.
It's getting heated. But I digress.
Anyway, triggered. So let's see.
Are we doing a special beer?
We're cutting it close. We'll probably just drink that on our own. That's sorry,
fine.
Folks.
That's fine.
So we got 8, 8, 6, and 7. So we're looking at somewhere near 7 average. 7 average between all of us.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's good. I liked it. I'd watch it again. I'll watch it again after I watch the first one. I would like to watch all three of them in a row and see how they all stack up together. Because you don't really think about it, because Marvel's such a big thing that you don't stop to think that there is a Captain America trilogy. There is an Iron Man trilogy. Like, there's a bunch of content just with these guys. I've not seen the second or third Thor. I saw the first one, and it was... it's just so different. Thor is so different because it's about gods on different planets.
Thanos is in Thor, so, I mean, you see Thanos and Loki, and it's definitely different.
Thanos is a little bit more involved with Asgard.
Well, I mean, he was a prominent character, but he's introduced.
Do you guys
as a problem?
This is not even Marvel, but I got to bring it up since we're talking about superheroes. Do you remember the opening scene of the first Superman movie with the new guy, where the planet that they're on, Krypton, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And there's just it starts with that epic battle with Russell Crowe. Do you remember that scene?
I haven't seen that movie.
That is like. If they could make a whole movie that was as that good, that is the best DC. Like, it's only like 10 or 15 minutes, but it is like...
the planet's just crumbling.
It's better than anything I've seen in Marvel, even. You know what I'm talking about?
I haven't seen that movie.
Dude, it's...
what was that, Man of Steel?
Russell Crowe plays... I think it's Russell Crowe, am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Playing Superman's dad.
Okay.
And the planet's getting destroyed by this guy, and it's fucking beautiful. And then... that comes after is as good as
I know the origin story of Superman a little better than it comes to Marvel. I mean, because that's when they send him off on the rocket and he makes his way back to Earth.
Yep. Oh, but they play that. That's the beginning of this new reboot. Right. And it is breathtaking. It's fucking awesome.
I like Man of Steel a lot.
I would not.
That's what it was called, Man of Steel.
Man of Steel?
I would not want to watch Superman versus Batman. That's one movie that I just don't think I ever want to see.
You don't need to.
That's what I thought.
You don't need to. It's okay. I liked him.
I thought it was pretty good.
I just don't want to ever see Ben Affleck as Batman.
That's actually one of the strong points, I thought. I thought Ben Affleck as the older Batman was really good.
Really?
He didn't do too bad of a job.
Yes.
But DC has a disease where they have to fuck up the end of all their movies, and it's so bad. Every time. They fuck up the end of every movie they do.
Case in point, Doomsday at the end of Batman vs. Superman.
It was a mess. It was a mess. But we're totally off subject now.
Martha!
All right. Martha! So we did the New Belgium Blend Like a Brewer. We did a couple really awesome blends. I was totally satisfied with all of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm totally satisfied. I think we had a delay with our Craft X box. I think that's coming next week, and we'll probably do our best to do Craft X with Iron Man 3, which is the other movie that we get to review. I'll just preface by saying that I love the first two Iron Mans, and I don't like the third one very much. So I'm going to rewatch it, though. I'm going to rewatch it. I'm going to give it a fair shake. I remember a specific joke. I bet if I just say that. Iron Man makes a joke halfway through, and he says it to a kid, and I don't remember what it is, but it's terrible, and it's like, I can't believe Disney just made that joke. Like, it was so bad. So if anyone knows and hears this, definitely any of you Journey into Comics nerds, you'll know. I don't remember what it is, though. It's a terrible joke. We'll remember it. So that's probably going to be next week.
We're going to rate these beers, though?
We can rate the blends. We're running low on time. We've only got
three beers to do.
I will say I'm going to give it to the Citradelic one that we did. The
Tripadelic?
Tripadelic.
Yeah.
We all said it in different variations. The triple was really is strong, and then the Citradelic was very citrusy, and they perfectly balanced each other out. So that was amazing. I guess I would probably give the I'd probably do it in the order we drank them, if I gotta be honest. I like the combination of the sour. I might have done a different ratio. I might have put a little more in, or a little more to counter the sour, or I would have put in less sour just to see how that went, because it was still pretty sour. But
still did have the acidity behind it.
It's great, though. I was all about it. So, Zach?
It's pretty hard, honestly, for me to pick one blend that I picked or prefer over another. The Tripadelic was super good. The Monk's Pajamas was also super tasty. Two really dark beers that just it didn't taste like a heavy beer at all. And then the other one, the Sour. What was that one?
It doesn't matter. Laguinto.
Oh, yeah. And the Sour wasn't really bad. I not particularly fond of sours, but yeah,
it did the job for me. I liked all the beers individually too, sipping them by themselves. I was all about them. So, did you decide?
I would probably go with the Tripadelic if I had to pick one.
You do.
Oh, well, there it is.
All right, so he picked. All right, Dave, what do you think?
I really liked. I think for my number one, I'd probably have to go with the sour blend.
Nice, the black lager with the sour.
Yeah,
cellar sour. Is that what it was called?
Is that what it's called? Lagentas.
Cellar blender, and it's Largento.
Largento. Largento. I like the Largento, and then I like the monk's pajamas. I think it was called. Yeah. Whatever.
The joke I didn't get.
Yeah, I still don't get it, but. Yeah, I think that's probably my second, and I like the Tripadelic as well, but I'm a dark beer guy, so.
Touché.
You're a dark beer drinker, but such a lighthearted guy.
Oh, shit.
You fucking cuddle bear.
Oh, all
right, Brett.
Come here, you.
I am going to agree with Dave when I say that the Lagentas is the number one pick of mine tonight, followed by the Tripadelic. Followed by the Monk's Pajamas. Recently getting into the darker beers, the Monk's Pajamas just kind of tasted like it wasn't much of a blend. It was just a beer. It didn't stand out in any way to me. The other two really did, because you had that black lager plus the sour really gave it a diverse flavor that we've never had before. Then you have the triple plus the citrus IPA gave it a flavor that we really kind of haven't had before. And then when I drank the last one, it was just kind of a beer, in my opinion. So that would be my order that I rate them in.
It was a good beer.
It wasn't bad. I still enjoyed the flavor.
You didn't get the blend. You weren't able to ascertain the blend aspect.
After drinking both beers by themselves, taking a sip off the bottle of each one by itself, they just kind of were too similar to each other. Neither one stood out. With the other two beers, I could get the complex flavors. With this last one, it just... I've had decent, darker beers that tasted kind of like it, you know? So... less unique, in my opinion.
Cool. Sweet. Man, that was a nice full episode. Lots of conversation, lots of things to bounce around about. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for coming on the show tonight. Zach, David, Brett, always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Thanks again to the Journey into Comics Network for hosting us. If you haven't checked them out, get on it.
There are,
if I'm not mistaken, 9 other shows on the network that you should check out, ranging from topics such as movies, video games, politics, food, movies, books, literally anything that you might be interested in. There is a show to talk about it. Thank you to New Belgium for the beers that we drank tonight. If you ever hear us, send free beer. And we will see you next time on Brews with Dudes. I'm your host, Nick Maxson. Have a great evening.